Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hi, this is Jay Harv with the latest edition of Amazing Mets Love Life podcast. Carlos Delgado, Curtis Granderson. Guys, 50 years ago this year, Roberto Clemente was killed in a crash going to Nicaragua to do some good stuff. What, both award winners, Curtis in 2016, Carlos in 2006. What was your first reaction, Curtis, when you got the award?
It was an honor and a privilege just to be mentioned in the same breath as Roberto Clemente. We know about his accolades on the field, but what he meant as a humanitarian and to die doing what he just was second nature for him, helping others, what was just awesome to be in that conversation. And I tell this story every day. Like, I have that trophy. It's the best trophy I have. But my mom and dad still have it and won't give it to me. That's how meaningful it is to be represented in that same breath.
How about you, Carlos?
For me, it was a great honor. Just the recognition, and for us, for me being Puerto Rican, understanding, like growing up, it was everything was Roberto Clemente, from the school to the baseball park to the basketball arena. So once you get recognized, and it's like Curry said, you feel so honored to be mentioned in the same sentence. And I always said that you do your community work not to be recognized, but if he's gonna be recognized for one thing, it is definitely for being similar to what Roberto Clemente did.
You brought up a good point. One thing, I was honored to work with both you guys, and you guys hated the publicity part of it. I know, had to twist arms, the cameras were there. What made you, you know, just to do? I mean, was there a role model, you know, who you modeled yourself after?
For me, it's just, I'm grateful. I had the opportunity, number one, to be healthy, have a healthy family, and had the opportunity to play the game that I love for a living. So having the opportunity to help back and give back to the community and return a favor, pay it forward, that was my motivation, you know what I mean? We have, over the past 20 years, we have worked with a lot of people, and these people teach you a lesson all the time, you know? Some kids are like, either sick or they have like a disability, and they're fighting all the time. They're fighting for their lives. And something make us put it in perspective. You know, sometimes we complain about this, we complain about that. You know what? There's a lot of people worse off fighting and trying to make it better. So that's my motivation.
Your extra bases is your side.
Extra bases, correct, yes.
And your grandkids. Yes. How did you first get into it from your end of it?
It was my mom and dad, and I remember both of them being teachers, and when I would grow, and it's probably the same thing with you, Carlos, eventually you have a jacket, you have a pair of shoes, and you become too big for that stuff. But a lot of my parents' teachers were students were my size, so they would take my clothes and bring them to them. They knew that there were kids that needed those things. I didn't know it was called humanitarianism. I didn't know it was giving back. I thought it was, hey, I had outgrown it. You give it to somebody else. And now I'm growing up and I'm starting to realize that, wow, like, this is a way to truly have impact. And as Carlos said, now we're in a position where people recognize us, we can say things can get done, and what better way to get it done by going out there and helping the community that helped you to get to where you are today.
Carlos, I could be wrong, but it's not one specific thing, right? You would travel around the island with different people. It's not one cause, am I correct?
It's not one cause, but it's all dedicated to kids, you know, so whether it's inner city kids or after school program or youth sports program or kids that have been in an orphanage or disabled. So when we started Extra Bases, I was already playing, so I didn't have a full, you know, it was a full-time job, but I wasn't there all the time.
Right.
So basically what we've done is just we partnered up with different institutions that work with these kids on an everyday basis, and we wanted to continue to like help them both financially and with volunteers, and create awareness that there's a lot of people out there doing some great work, you know, trying to make an impact on the lives of these kids.
Curtis, you concentrate on food drives. You were in Chicago, brought it back to New York. How did that become
Same thing with my parents. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year, and my parents would always invite people over, whether it was friends, whether it was families, whether it was neighbors. We had enough food, you come over and you make sure you grab a plate and go home. But again, I didn't realize that some people didn't have a plate. That's why they were coming to us. And you know as well as I do, if you don't have a meal to start your day, you're not as focused, you're a little bit cranky, and there's a lot of kids and adults all over not only the U.S., but across the world that don't know where their next meal is coming from. So helping to tackle food insecurity has been a mission, and I've been happy to partner with groups like the Food Bank for New York when I was here in New York, the Greater Chicago Food Depository in Chicago, and No Kid Hungry when we were playing here and hitting those home runs, and all the home runs benefited groups like that.
Carl, did you do one thing? I remember last time I spoke to you was a hospital in Cleveland or Boston. Had no electric or something. My memories for was something you did with them.
Back in the day, we had a really good friend that used to work at a Boston hospital.
Right.
And we were, these days doesn't mean anything, but back then when there was, the technology wasn't so big, telemedicine was a big thing. So we, in our hospital in our area, we didn't have the specialists in different areas, so we were able to communicate with the hospital in Boston through a telemedicine program. You know, now you can FaceTime somebody and then get that, but back then you didn't have it. I sound old now.
How about me? You're old, what am I? I'm way past my bar mitzvah age. Kurt, this is the first time you said you've been back, you know, memories of 15, you know.
Just fun, loud crowds. And the really cool thing, as amazing as Citi Field was, just the city of New York in general, the number of blue and orange Mets hats I would see around the city in 15 was awesome to see. It even transcended into the offseason when I would travel the world and go to different places. I'm like, there's a Mets hat here in Norway. There's a Mets hat in Switzerland. There's a Mets hat in Paris. And it was really cool to see that because it just showed what the organization means and how big the city is. And when people leave, if you're a Mets fan, you're still going to take that with you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, Carl, I remember doing the award. We lost the Game 7 against St. Louis.
Painful. Painful.
And Yadier Molina and Wainwright are still dealing with it 90 years later.
Yeah.
Remember, we got on a play the day after, went to St. Louis for to get your award. That was a kind of, not melancholy, you know, I mean, you were great, but it was kind of, you know.
It was a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
It was a tough series. I mean, and that Game 7 was definitely painful. Obviously, when you get the news that you won the Roberto Clemente Award and what that entails, it's just like, I was happy to go there. I mean, I wish that I was there playing and also getting the award on my uniform on. But at the end of the day, we knew that as a team, we gave all we could. We just came up a little short.
Chris, I don't know if you remember seeing in that series, Andy Chavez goes over the wall. The 2-run homer from Scott Rowland takes it away. I would have bet my dollar we would have won that series.
Yeah, me too. I thought that at that point, I said, you know what? This is good. This is good momentum for us. It's probably one of the best plays I've ever seen. And like I said, it was a great game. It was a great series. You just came up a little short. We couldn't come up with that big hit at the end.
So, you know, the crazy part about that, I'm in Detroit watching that series because we've already clinched our spot to represent the American League in the World Series. And as soon as that play happens, I tell all my teammates, we're playing the Mets in the World Series.
Yeah.
And just like that, it switched over, and all of a sudden we're playing St. Louis.
I mean, our series against the Royals in 15, if we had won the first game, I know what if, but I mean, it was a really good team. We just fell a little short, and, you know, Cape and Murphy had a postseason to remember and everything, you know. Good guy. Did you got Clemente died. It's nobody Do you stay in touch with the family at all through the years, guys? I mean, either way, you know.
The Clemente family?
Well, we see them all the time. I live in Puerto Rico, and, you know, they have Sports City there, and they do exhibitions, right. And they have a couple of fundraising events. So I run into them from time to time. And obviously, if they come to Puerto Rico, everything's on the news. You know, it was sad when Miss Clemente, Vera Clemente passed. So, like, Clemente, his legacy is so big and so important for us in Puerto Rico that he gets great coverage at home. So we know what's going on, and obviously the Clemente brothers are around quite a bit, and something important happens. So if a major league game comes to Puerto Rico, so there's always around. And a day like today is huge at home. So you'll go out, and there's going to be a lot of people wearing number 21.
What is it going to take? You answer the question. What is it going to take for the MLB to retire 21?
I don't know what they're waiting on. I really don't know what they're waiting on. I mean, this is the guy that Curtis mentioned. Great accolades on the field, but his humanitarian work off the field, it was phenomenal. Those are the values that you want your organization to be around with. You want the younger generation to go to any ballpark and see, oh, so why that number 21 is out there on that right center or left center field wall? Well, you want to explain, say, this is Mr. Clemente. You know, he passed away on New Year's Eve, going on a plane to bring supplies to victims of earthquake in Nicaragua, and explain the history and the legacy and how important he was for the game and the values that he represented.
How about you, Curtis?
You know how important it is when you see that jersey up, like Carlos said. Look at how many young kids wear number 42 on their Little League team. They've never seen Jackie Robinson, right? They just know the stories they've heard and how important and impactful he is. So if you have the players wearing 21 on a great day like today, like the Mets and the Pirates are going to do, but you do that league-wide, and then you also put it up in each stadium, kids grow up and want to know those questions, like Carlos says, and it influences them to not only want to play like him, but to be like him, to be that humanitarian. And you can start giving back at any age. There's no time limit on it. But these young kids will start to see it, want to be like it, and want to learn more about it.
How popular is Clemente now in Puerto Rico? Is it 40 years? It's 50 years since he died.
You know what? This is the way I'm going to put it. He passed away 50 years ago, and we're talking about it like if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Still news. So I don't know if that puts it in perspective. Yeah. You know, I ask the same question all the time. It seems like his legacy continues to grow. He gets bigger and bigger all the time, you know. For whatever reason, I mean, something about his history, you know, he was 3,000 hits right on the nose. I mean, the way he passed away.
The next pitcher gave up the 3,000 to John Matlack.
Rumor has it that, you know, he was Rookie of the Year that year.
Yes, he was, yeah.
And I heard that he gets upset because he doesn't get credit for being Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
He gets asked, why do you give up that double?
I've got him. John's a good guy. I don't know him at all.
I don't know the guy.
He's got about 20 calls in last week, one or two of us. I said, the 19th call, please don't call him. Now, he's good. He understands the significance of it, you know. Because let me jump in. TV work. How do you find your TV work and work with TBS?
It's been fun getting a chance to do broadcasting with TBS. And I got a great crew. We got Pedro Martinez, former Met. Jimmy Rollins, former hated Met.
Yes.
And just a great crew. Lauren Shahadi and Ernie Johnson have been awesome. We get to talk baseball. We get to talk about all the moments and memories that we've had and also see what the players are able to do. And it's especially exciting when we get a chance to talk about just what the game is turning into, the excitement, how the fans are getting involved. It's been awesome.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Look at your career. If you don't get hurt, you know, hurt your hip and miss a year, I mean, for me, you're a surefire Hall of Famer. I mean, do you ever look back, what if, you know, to do that or?
I try not to, but you know what? I really wish I would have played another year and a half.
Yeah.
That was my plan, 2009, 2010, you know. it doesn't make any sense to start, you know, complaining about it. You know, I really enjoy my career. I gave everything that I had. But, you know, there's days that I get up and I say, man, I wish I would have finished that 2009 and go to 2010, maybe, or 500 home runs.
You tried a couple of times to come back, but you got hurt again. Remember?
Yes, I ended up having three surgeries in 18 months. Right. I did 24 months of rehab nonstop just to try to come back, and ended up retiring, and 2 years later had a total hip replacement. Right. So I can look at myself in the mirror and say, you know what? I gave everything that I had. I tried everything that I could. I went to every doctor that I could. It just didn't quite work out. You know, it wasn't turning. It wasn't working. I couldn't hit or play like that.
Chris, when did you decide enough is enough playing? I mean, you kept playing a couple of years.
You know, I was enjoying it, and I started seeing it and go, you know what? And I have no major accolades I need to accomplish. You know, I wasn't chasing, you know, 500 home runs or anything. I was still wanting a World Series. That was the big one that I really wanted to get. Mm-hmm. I'd come short a couple times. But at that point, it's like, this has been fun. I enjoyed this ride. Now it's time to go. And I never wanted to be in a position where they told me to go. I wanted to walk away on my own accord.
Do you follow the game?
Yeah. You know, like from September on out, I watch more, you know. With all the technology now, it's easier to follow. You know, you get the standings and the results on your app, social media. So you get to know. I mean, I don't watch a ton of games. You know, my kids are still small. They go to school. But, like, when playoff time comes, you know, I go watch, see what's going on. It just gets a little more intense, you know.
Yeah, for me as a peer, last question. Both of you guys were stand-up guys. Do you find sometimes the players got to, you know, if they don't do good, to be in front of their lockers? I mean, both of you guys never ran from the media. You always stood up and answered the questions. And I mean, New York is a tough market to play in.
Well, I feel Gary Sheffield, former Met, he taught me this. He said, what I always try to do on my best games, I didn't want to be in front of the locker. But on the worst game, I wanted to. I never wanted you to be in a situation where you say, he only talks when he's playing good.
Right.
So I heard him say that, and I started thinking, hey, no matter what happens, I got to be held accountable for it. Because if I'm not there, then Carlos has to answer for it. And then now me and Carlos are going to have a beef. Because how come I need to talk for you? So I always wanted to make sure I'm going to take accountability for myself. I'm going to talk about it, both good and bad, and hope that my teammates do the same thing.
What was your philosophy, Carlos?
I agree. I agree. I think you have to be honest, number one. But then it's part of your job. You got to be accountable for what you do. And you know what? You drop a ball, you punch out, you lost a game. It's not the end of the world. I think what makes it worse is just like not showing up. And then something that could have been finished in 3 minutes, now it drags for a whole week. It's unfair for your teammates. It's unfair for the whole ball club. So you know what? You drop the ball, you face a camera, you say, you know what? I dropped the ball. I was trying to catch it. I did the best I could. That's the end of the game. And I think he touched on a very important point. You don't put pressure on the other guy. You don't want to say, oh, Kerry said that. You know, you want to say, you know what? That was my mistake. I dropped the ball. I punched out. And at the end of the day, that's the story. You know, you don't want anything to snowball from there.
Guys, last question. You were on the field, 15 former Clemente winners. What was it like 50 years being with that group of great guys, great players, and great people? What was it like for you guys at Domingo?
For me today, it's been like a kid in a candy store. I mean, there's some great players out there. I mean, after a while, things loosen up, you joke around, but, you know, it's Dave Winfield out there. You know, it's Mike Stewart out there. Dave Stewart out there. It's like, oh, hold on, Carlos Beltran is out there. It's like, it's like a kid in a candy store. It's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
For me, it's so cool. Like, when I got the invitation and I saw the list of guys, because I had to go through and see, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be there for that. Yeah. And even on my day today, I'm in the elevator and Carlos comes in, and he's coming in, and he's tall, he's got his mask on, and he's like, Curtis, it's Carlos Delgado. I was like, like, in my head, I'm doing that. Like, this is my first time seeing and meeting him. And now we're in the elevator going down, then we're going to the events, and we're starting our day. Dave Stewart, I've never met him in person, but I played with him on the video games. You know, he was the guy. And all these players out there. And then my dad, you know, was a huge fan of him. Like, I took a picture with Dale Murphy that I'm going to send to my dad. Like,
that's great.
This is all what's so exciting for
me. The first Clemente winner I worked with was the late Gary Carter. You know, Gary died at 57. Leukemia. He dedicated his life to the Leukemia Society, and you know, you two guys, and you know, Al Leiter, and started pitching at Carlos Carrasco is a great story himself. But It's an honor to work with you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, and it was an honor to be with you, and continue to success, and maybe we'll see you in the postseason somewhere along the line.
I hope so.
Thank you, Carlos.
Jay?
Chris, thank you, Jay. Hey, and to the Mets fans, if you're out there seeing the Mets play the Pirates in Pittsburgh, go to the Roberto Clemente Museum. It's an amazing place, and they also have wine in the basement, so you will enjoy it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.